In 2013, Typhoon Haiyan made landfall in the Philippines and displaced 4 million people. In 2011, a year-long drought hit East Africa. 4 years later, over 1 million people are still living in refugee camps. But these were two very different kinds of disasters. One was a creeping catastrophe that unfolded over a number of years. The other, a disaster that struck with lightning speed. Climate change threatens to reshape the disasters we face, altering when they happen, how bad they are, and how long they last. I've spent over a year collecting the stories of people who were forced to move by these disasters, and other disasters across the world. By looking at these stories, we can begin to understand the human face of disasters, but we can also begin to ask questions about what might happen in the future. This is a podcast that explores one of the very important distinctions in our understanding of climate change, disasters, and the movement of people. The distinction that we're going to look at is this difference between slow and rapid onset disasters. So the difference between disasters that unfold perhaps over a number of minutes or even hours, compared to disasters that unfold over maybe months or even years. What we're going to explore is how these disasters create different patterns of human movement. So how these different kinds of disasters affect where people move to, when they move, how fast they move, and if and when they can return to their original homes. What we're also going to do is look at how these different kinds of disasters are related to climate change. So we're going to explore the relationship between our own carbon emissions, rising global temperatures, and then the emergence of these different kinds of disasters, and explore the complete pathway, if you like, between our own emissions, climate change, rapid and slow onset disasters, and then these new patterns of human movement that result from them. So let's begin by making this distinction between slow and rapid onset disasters and looking at some examples. So when we're talking about rapid onset disasters, what do we mean? Well, I think the key examples are probably typhoons and hurricanes, flash flooding, and also here's two that aren't related to climate change, earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. But what do they have in common? What we're really saying is these are disasters that happen very suddenly, with very little warning. There might be a few hours or maybe a few days warning that the disaster is about to strike. And when it does strike, it happens very quickly and is usually over very quickly. What do we mean when we talk about slow onset disasters? Well, these are really very different. We're talking about things like sea level rise, desertification, and drought. Now, these kind of disasters, while the impacts might be just as deadly, usually come with more warning. There might be months or even years advance warning that this kind of disaster is about to happen. And when the disaster does strike, it tends to stay for longer. It tends to have prolonged impacts and stay within an area or region for months or even years. So I want to look now at a specific example of a rapid onset disaster. And the example I'm going to look at is Typhoon Haiyan, which struck the Philippines. And what I want to do is give you an idea of the speed, the pace with which this disaster struck. The typhoon made landfall in the Philippines on the 8th of November, and it had been identified as one of the most powerful typhoons ever recorded, only hours before that. So we're talking about only a few hours warning that one of the most powerful typhoons in history is about to strike. Then, within a few hours, it had killed nearly 6,000 people, injured nearly 30,000, and displaced almost 4 million. But by the 9th of November, only 24 hours later, the storm had moved out of Philippine territory and to Vietnam and China. So what we're looking at here is 48 hours in which a disaster, in this case a typhoon, is identified, strikes, and then moves on. And really, within a space of only 24 hours, the disaster causes almost all of its destruction. So what I want to do is look at two testimonies from survivors of Typhoon Haiyan that I think demonstrate how quickly, how rapidly this disaster unfolded. Here's the first one. We were used to flooding, but this time it was different. The electricity was cut off, it was dark, and the water came quickly. We went up to the second floor, but the water kept coming. And here's the second testimony. We were trapped in the house for 2 days until someone came to rescue us in a boat. We were taken to a local gymnasium, which was being used as an evacuation centre. We stayed there for a week, but it was so crowded that we decided to leave and go back to the ruins of our house. So I think these two testimonies paint a picture, or give a snapshot, if you like, of the speed with which people had to make decisions. There was really very little time to prepare, and people did things to ensure their immediate survival. So, for example, moving to the second story of their house, or simply waiting to be evacuated. What's obvious, though, is that there was no time to plan. There was no time to put anything in place. People were taken by surprise by this disaster, and simply had to do whatever they could to survive. So in many ways, this is a classic example of a rapid onset disaster. The next example I want to look at is the flooding that took place in Pakistan in 2010. So this is another example of a rapid onset disaster, but what we can see is that it unfolded slightly differently to Typhoon Haiyan. But I think what we can see is some very similar patterns of migration and displacement. So let's look briefly at the timeline of the flooding in Pakistan in 2010. The flooding started on the 29th of July, when heavy monsoon rains caused the northern end of the Indus River to flood. The flooding then spread downriver, probably over the next 10 days, until eventually one-fifth of the country was flooded. So although the timescale was slightly longer than the disaster that took place in the Philippines as a result of the typhoon, this was still a very quick event. There was very little warning, and once the flooding had started, it spread across the entire country within a number of days. So while people had some warning that a disaster was coming, they still had very little time to prepare. I want now to look at two testimonies that I think give a sense of the speed with which this disaster unfolded. Here's the first one. The rains came in the middle of the night while most people were sleeping. When we woke up, there was about 2 to 3 feet of water and we didn't know how to escape because our village is far from the main road. We were rescued in boats by the army and by NGOs. We are thankful to be alive, but we lost our livestock. And now we are trying to rebuild our livelihoods by starting from the beginning. Here's the second testimony. The water came at night and we didn't have time to save our belongings. We had to choose whether to save our children and ourselves, or our property and assets. So we chose to save our kids. We left everything and ran to save our lives. So what can we say in general about the kind of human movement that results from these sudden disasters? Well, I think there are a few key points. The first is that people have little or no choice about moving. Moving is simply a way of ensuring their immediate survival. It's not a choice, it's something that they have to do in order to live. Secondly, people leave very rapidly. People often don't take anything with them. They have maybe a number of minutes or hours in which to leave their home and find somewhere else safe. Communities are often evacuated, so rather than organising their own movement, the army or NGOs or part of the local or central government will move people and move them to evacuation centres which are often set up in schools or hospitals or other public buildings. Finally, people aren't moving far. People aren't crossing borders, they're certainly not crossing continents. They're moving to the nearest safe place. And from the testimonies that we've looked at, people are talking about moving maybe only a few miles. People also talk about a desire to return, and often to return as quickly as possible. So people want to go back, even though their homes may have been destroyed. There's a desire there to return, to rebuild, and to be part of reconstruction efforts. So how can we sum this up? The human movement that's created by sudden onset disasters is short distance, it's sudden, and there's a desire that it's temporary. People want to go back. However, what we've seen, especially after the flooding in Pakistan and to some extent after Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines, is people often don't return to their original homes. I want to now look at slow onset disasters. And to give you a sense of a slow onset disaster, I want to describe the 2011 drought in the Horn of Africa. So this is a disaster that lasted almost an entire year. By September 2012, nearly 1 million people had fled Somalia into camps in Kenya and Ethiopia. Early warning systems first forecast the looming disaster 11 months before it hit. The massive displacement was created partly by the fact that the whole region had been made more vulnerable by previous droughts. So what we can see here is a disaster that was several months in the making. There were several months between the early warning systems first predicting the disaster and it actually striking. And then a disaster that lasts more than a year. It affected the region for over a year. And the vulnerability, so the region's inability to cope with the disaster, had in fact been shaped by similar disasters in previous years, stretching back a number of decades. So to understand this disaster, our time frame has to be much bigger. We have to look across a number of years to really understand what happened, rather than looking across perhaps only a number of months or even weeks when we want to understand what happened, for example, in the Philippines during Typhoon Haiyan or in Pakistan in 2010 during the floods. This is a slow onset disaster that unfolds over a number of years. What I want to do now is explore several testimonies from people who've been affected by slow onset disasters. The first ones are from the Horn of Africa, and then after that I want to look at two other testimonies, one from Mexico and one from Kiribati. So looking at slow onset disasters affecting other regions as well. These first two testimonies from the Horn of Africa were recorded in refugee camps. They were testimonies recorded by the UN High Commission for Refugees. Here's the first one. And since there was the war, we did not receive any support from the government. Therefore, there were combined factors that made us suffer, droughts and war. If war did not exist, then we might have been able to stay. But now the land is looted and there is no way for us to claim it. Here's the second testimony. Because of the severe drought, my family and I moved permanently to the river some distance away. But this is difficult because of the fighting going on in the area, and eventually we moved again because of it. So we can draw some immediate conclusions from these testimonies. The first seems to be that people see their movement as multi-causal, that is, they see several factors in creating their movement. In these testimonies, people saw conflict and drought as forcing them to move. If we look back at the testimonies from Pakistan and the Philippines, people tended to see the immediate disaster as the only cause of their movement. That is, they saw the flood or the typhoon as the sole reason that they had to move. Whereas when we look at the testimonies from the Horn of Africa during the drought, people are saying that their movement has been caused by several factors, in this case, conflict and the drought itself. So what we've got here is two disasters combining. One natural disaster, the drought, combining with a human-made disaster, the conflict, and the combination of those things causing people to move. The second immediate observation is that people are moving further. Both of these testimonies were collected in refugee camps by the UN Refugee Agency, and people had actually crossed an international border. They'd crossed a border in order to escape political violence, so although it might have been the drought that initially caused them to move, they were then forced to move again in order to avoid conflict, and in order to truly avoid it, they had to cross a border. So what we've got here is a combination of factors creating cross-border movement. So again, this is quite different from the kind of movement that we saw in Pakistan and the Philippines, where people tended to be moving a very short distance. I want to look now at another kind of slow-onset disaster. Sea level rise. And what I want to do here is explore how this kind of disaster is creating yet another form of human movement. Specifically, I want to look at the idea of planned relocation. So this is the idea that in the face of climate change, in the face of rising sea levels, a number of communities on low-lying Pacific islands will have to relocate. Rising sea levels are another example of a slow onset disaster. So unlike typhoons or floods, rising sea levels do not unfold over a number of hours or days. This is a climate change impact that unfolds over a number of years or even decades. Rising sea levels have created situations in a number of Pacific islands where communities are beginning to think that moving may be better than staying. And rather than simply moving in an ad hoc fashion, which is already happening, a number of communities are looking at planned relocation. So the key points here are that an entire community moves all at once. And the effect of this is that rather than breaking apart social and community bonds, those bonds are maintained, a community stays together, and moves en masse to another location. So what we can see here is yet another very different kind of human movement. It's different from the kind of movement that we saw in Pakistan and the Philippines in response to rapid onset disasters. And it's also different to the kind of movement that we saw in the Horn of Africa in response to another kind of slow onset disaster, the drought. The key difference here is that the communities that are moving have some choice and some agency about where and when they move. They're not forced to move immediately, and they have some options. There's time to plan, and in general, the communities go through a process of consultation before deciding to move. I want to look at one more example of slowly unfolding climate change impacts, and the example I want to explore is changing rainfall patterns. And I want to begin this by exploring one particularly interesting testimony. This is a testimony from a farmer based in Mexico, who, as we'll see, has recently moved to the US. Here's the testimony. My grandfather, father, and I have worked these lands, but times have changed. The rain is coming later now, so we produce less. The only solution is to go away, at least for a while. Each year I'm working for 3 to 5 months in Wyoming. That's my main source of income. But leaving my village forever? No, I was raised here, and this is where I will stay. So I think what this demonstrates is someone using migration as a way of adapting to a slowly unfolding climate change impact. What we can see here is someone using circular migration. This person's clearly talking about leaving temporarily and finding work elsewhere, and then returning. They're using migration as a way of finding an alternative source of income as farming becomes increasingly difficult as a result of changing rainfall patterns. So again, this is yet another form of human movement. It's different from the planned relocations we've talked about in the Pacific. It's different from the forced movement we've seen in the Horn of Africa, Pakistan, and the Philippines. So we can now look at the similarities and differences. How do slow and rapid onset disasters create different kinds of movement? And we can finish by asking ourselves a series of questions. So, do slow and rapid onset disasters both create forced movement? The answer to this seems to be an obvious yes. Sudden disasters like floods, typhoons, and hurricanes very obviously create forced movement. People have very little choice about where and when they go. But slow onset disasters also create forced movement. We could also ask, do both slow and rapid onset disasters create voluntary movement? The answer here seems to be a more obvious no. While it is the case that slow onset disasters might in some situations create a form of voluntary movement where people have some choice about where and when they move, it's difficult to imagine a circumstance under which a sudden onset disaster like a flash flood or a typhoon would leave people with any choice about where and when they went. Do both forms of disasters create internal movement? Again, we've got an obvious yes here. In fact, the vast majority of people who are affected by both rapid and slow onset disasters move within their own country. Do slow and rapid onset disasters both create cross-border movement? Do they both create the movement of people across international borders from one country to another? Slow onset disasters are more likely to create cross-border movement. For example, during the Horn of Africa drought, millions of people fled across international borders into neighbouring countries. As we saw in the testimonies that we looked at, people were fleeing a complex web of environmental, economic, and conflict drivers. But during sudden disasters, people tend to move short distances. As we saw in the testimonies from the Philippines and Pakistan, people tended not to move very far. So I think the answer here is that it's far more likely that slow onset disasters will create cross-border movement, whereas rapid onset disasters are much less likely to create movement from one country to another. What about permanent and temporary movement? People affected by slow and rapid onset disasters often express a deep desire to return, as many people who are displaced by factors other than disasters do as well. People fleeing both kinds of disasters often want to return. In the case of slow onset disasters like drought, people will often return when conditions improve. With rapid onset disasters, people will often return quickly to take part in reconstruction. However, this can leave both groups vulnerable if the same kind of disaster strikes again. Some kinds of slow onset disasters might be permanent and might create permanent displacement. For example, sea level rise is already creating permanent movement away from low-lying areas. Desertification, in many cases, is not reversed and creates situations where farming may no longer be possible in the same area again. In these circumstances, the movement may be permanent rather than temporary. Some kinds of slow onset disasters may also create seasonal and circular migration. This is the kind of migration that we saw expressed in the testimony from Mexico. For example, if altered rainfall patterns make farming less profitable, people may move during drier periods and then return as conditions change. People might also seek work elsewhere during quieter periods of the agricultural year, and then return when more work becomes available. So, in conclusion, slow and rapid onset disasters are likely to create both permanent and temporary movement. Finally, we can ask, what is the relationship between climate change and these different kinds of disasters? So, what is the relationship between our carbon emissions, a warming planet, and then the kind of disasters that we've seen creating these different forms of migration, displacement, and relocation? So, there is some evidence linking typhoons and hurricanes to climate change. The evidence suggests that a warming planet is likely to increase the frequency of the most severe kinds of typhoons. So it's not necessarily going to increase the number of typhoons that make landfall, but it may increase the number of very powerful typhoons. However, the evidence linking climate change to other forms of disasters is actually much stronger. So, for example, there is strong evidence linking climate change to severe droughts and extreme precipitation events. So the strong evidence linking climate change with the drought in the Horn of Africa in 2010 that we looked at earlier, and with the floods in Pakistan. So there's evidence linking climate change to each of the disasters we've looked at. The strongest and most concerning evidence shows a powerful connection between climate change and drought, heat waves, and coastal flooding. What we've done in this podcast is explore the relationship between climate change, disasters, and then the movement of people. But what I think we've really shown is that there are no simple answers. There isn't a simple relationship between climate change, disasters, and then how and when people move. What we've seen is that climate change is going to affect different disasters differently. We've also seen that different kinds of disasters create different kinds of human movement. But as the planet warms, understanding these complexities becomes ever more important.